Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Let's go right on out and see how futures are trading. Here are your composite numbers in Kansas City. December wheat at 883.5, up 5.25. May at 908.5 is up 5. December wheat in Chicago, 851, up 3.75, now a quarter. May at 872, up 4. December corn, 750.5, up 5. March, 754.5, up 4.75. July, 743, up 5.5. And December of 13, at 629.25, up 3.75. January soybeans, 1431, up 12.25, now 12. March, 1414.25, up 11.25. May, 1391.5, up 8.75. July, 1385, up 8.75. November of 13, 1292.25, up 7.5. December soybean meal, 432.40, up 380, now 390. December soybean oil, 49.46, up 42. December live cattle, 128.72.5, down 22.5. December feeders, and make that January, at 147.40, down 47.5. And December lean hogs are 82.77.5, and they are up 30.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural futures commodities is our good friend from Bates Commodities, Kurt Kimmel. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, when we went away last week, at the end of the week, there was a lot of talk that kind of felt like the market was heavy, you could come back on Monday after the light volume week and traders come back and take a look at it again and see the downside pressed into the electronic trade Sunday night into Monday. But none of that happened. In fact, if anything, there's a little optimism in the market today.
Yeah, you know, we're coming off, you know, some negative feelings, fiscal cliff, liquidation, a lot of liquidation taking place, you know, tax uncertainties is going to next year. You know, the momentum was down and just, you know, a little overall negative. But there last week, there was some hope. There was bounces, you know, corn bounced pretty good off a low. Beans, you know, did its thing. And we're kind of in position now. Hopefully the trade will look at the bears having Thanksgiving, and hopefully the bulls will have Christmas here, so everyone will get a little bit of the action. But when you look at the big picture here, we're seeing our grain values on the world scale fairly attractive. When you look at the world grain situation, it remains tight. World values have gone up quite a bit. We're starting to become the cheapest place in the world to buy grain. We've got a little bit of inventory to sell, and we're seeing that sales take place. You know, corn sales continue to struggle, but bean sales, there's ideas. We sold 3 to 4 cargoes of beans. We'll look for a sale announcement this week. But the big hidden one, sort of the backdoor commodity, has been flowing out of the country in a rapid amount. It's been the soybean oil.
Yeah, 233,000 metric tons this month.
It's just huge. I mean, it's just a matter of not the whole month, but just, you know, a few days, actually. And we're in a position where we're just almost sold out of bean oil, and we've got 11 months to go in the marketing year. So there's some things taking place here that is going to give the bull some possibility to get a little action here as we go into year-end, Dave.
So, and a lot of it's unknown, but we think China. Why is China buying soybean oil?
Well, maybe they're going to have, some type of deep-fried turkey party or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Yes, they are. They've gone through the process of rolling out old crop in inventory, replenishing it with some new crop, plus picking up some bean oil. World bean oil values are hanging in there quite well. Malaysia palm oil values quite well. It goes on to the old story that we've seen here for several years at gathering inventory for the huge population base they have to feed.
South America planting window is quickly shutting down. I would think about a couple more weeks and they ought to be done.
Yeah, we're seeing rapid progress, and the main emphasis is weather now. Southern third of Brazil is back to the hot, dry pattern. We'll see if that area continues to grow. The trade was counting on the southern hemisphere to help supply the world with beans. But, you know, some of the outlook meetings we've done here over the several years, we've addressed the issue of the world supply-demand balance sheet. Yeah, it is based out of Washington projecting where we are in October on the world scale. But when you make those numbers or use the numbers or calculate the numbers as of March, we're entering a time window where the world's going to be historically tight on beans in general come March. So it's going to be very, very important for the southern hemisphere to have a good crop. And if they continue to experience some production problems, that could give the beans a little bit of a boost here as we go into this January-February time window.
So we're going to be playing the game of the twos all winter. Too wet, too dry.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be living and dying day to day on these forecasts.
It's going to create a lot of market volatility, a lot of action. I don't foresee, you know, going up to the old highs, but by all means, we could probably see, you know, the bull and the bear both having their way here as we go into this winter.
And when you look at Argentina, when we play that game of twos, I suppose it's especially pertinent that we talk about the corn a little bit there.
When you look at the world corn situation, the trade was counting on some decent production numbers out of the southern hemisphere. A shift to beans and some production growing concerns in the southern hemisphere is putting some value back to the U.S. Market here. So, yes, the southern hemisphere is going to be the market maker here as we move forward.
I suppose here in the United States, producers, if they have good corn, have now and they have it marketed, they've locked it because they're thinking July corn could be within eight in front of it, and they're going to wait and hold it out and see how it plays out, I would imagine.
Could very well be. Most guys are probably where they want to be for now. I have a lot of fun being in the business I'm in, and one thing I've seen over the many years is that once a producer pays minimum storage, very rarely does he turn around and sell it. Same thing on the grain bin situation. Once he fills up the grain bin, very rarely does he turn around and empty it. So cash grains going to have to move higher here or stay firm to kind of shake it loose, at least going into the first of the year.
And you expect that's going to be done on the basis side as opposed to the futures side?
Oh, we're looking at record basis levels. I think basis is going to stay strong. On the other hand, too, you know, I don't see a sharp up moving through here because we saw last summer the end user buyer just throw in the towel or give up once cash bids were above $8.
So what is the, you know, if you like the whole toolbox, and you like options, you like everything that's available, what's the best strategy, do you think?
The best strategy is to be flexible. Be flexible. For those who are pretty well sold up, you can come back in and do some cash replacements. But, a lot of the guys and gals and services has been on your programs is pretty well stated. Be flexible. There's tons of strategies out there you can use to be flexible. Even cash grain marketing, I think you have to be flexible because there's going to be opportunities to, you know, grab an extra few cents next here or there according to where you market your cash grain.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
Hey, take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current ticker in the marketplace, December corn at 751, up now 51 and a quarter, now 51 at 5.5. The July is 743.25, up 5.75. January soybeans, 1431.5, up 12.75. November at 1293.25, up 8.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.